I want you to train me. All right, I need somebody solid, and who else better to go to? All right, you at least owe me that.
I can tell the way you talk. You've been to school, you know, so I figure you got some brains. Why would you want to pick a fighter's life when you don't have to? If Apollo was around, he would tell you that too.
Well, he ain't around. I've been fighting my whole life. I ain't got a choice.
It's always about a choice. I was in the ring. I saw how it went down. That fight should have been stopped. I should have stopped it.
Maybe he wanted to go out like a fighter. Maybe you did exactly what he wanted.
I think he'd rather be here talking with you.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red Shirt Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson. Joining me is my friend and co-host and the person most likely to need to shit themselves before a boxing match, Alex Perkins. Burke, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I did not have to shit myself today, probably because I wasn't in any boxing matches.
That's good. That's good. You want to kind of
clearly a correlation there.
You want to minimize those events in your life, you know, both boxing matches and shitting yourself.
Right.
Welcome back to the Red Sea Movie Podcast, everyone. This is a show where every week Perkins and I review a movie that was connected to the previous one. Last week we reviewed Fruitvale Station, and we followed the director Ryan Coogler to this week's movie, Creed. If you like our show, please sure to tell your friends about it. We post every Friday morning on all podcast services, but enough of the housekeeping. Perk, interest movie for us, please.
Yeah, all right. So Creed is a 2015 joint directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone. And it's basically like a way down the road sequel to the Rocky movies, where Apollo Creed's son finds his way to Philadelphia and trains with Rocky Balboa for a big fight against the bad guy. I suppose, fun fact for you, the Sylvester Stallone's son died during production, and he like almost lost it and wanted to quit and stop, and Ryan Coogler convinced him to just dedicate his performance and put everything into it in honor of his son, and he did.
Yeah, for sure. Perk, I've seen this movie before, so I will go to you. What did you think of Creed?
I thought it was good. I am a fan. I've never seen the Rocky movies, so I don't have any context there. But for what it is, I thought, this is good. It's got good acting, good direction. Especially the fight scenes are really well directed. Definitely a good movie.
There you go. I fucking love this movie. The first time I saw it, I loved it, and it's been a minute, and I'm like, will it hold up? And I watched it last night. I'm like, no, I fucking love this movie. I think it is absolutely phenomenal. I think it was nice watching Fruitvale Station last week and kind of seeing Coogler's kind of style with his camera movement. And I think the camera movement in this movie is absolutely fantastic. All like the following shots of like them walking through hallways and stuff, and then also the fight with Leo, so like the fight we have through the movie, there's no cuts, or at least no, you know, clear cuts. And you're in that going switch between Michael B. Jordan's face to Leo's face to Rocky's face. There's no cuts. And I think it builds tension so well. I think all of the characters are mainly Michael B. Jordan's character, Sylvester Stallone's character, and Tessa Thompson's character are all very well developed. They all have motivations and kind of mini arcs, and I just love this movie. I love watching it. Love seeing the characters interact, and then the action is also fantastic. So, I loved it.
Yeah. I don't know. I had heard, you know, obviously rave reviews. And I think it's a great movie, but I don't know. This wasn't like life changing for me or anything. pretty straightforward sports movie type, you know, plot and everything. The acting is outstanding, which carries it. Yeah, it's like, it's a good story with great peripherals, which I feel like I've said a dozen times on this
podcast. Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it, because like you said, it is a very like standard sports story, but I think there is, it's like the highest quality version of it because they add in things that it amplify it over like any other generic one. To be more specific with that, I think Tessa Thompson is not just like the girlfriend. Like, she has her own motivation. I think her and MBJ's chemistry is fantastic, but I like that she doesn't just like let him do whatever he wants. Like, half of the movie, you know, he punches the guy at her show and she's like, you know, even after he explains himself and they both understand why it happened, she's like, I still, you can't be around you for a while because you fucked up my shit and like, that's not cool. So really appreciate her character. But I think to me, the biggest surprise of this movie is Sylvester Stallone. I've always thought of him as, you know, an action movie guy, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger type, you know, but I think his performance in this is just incredible. Like, he really plays this kind of quiet sadness and someone who, you know, used to be in his prime, but now he's older and pretty much everyone he knows has died because he's, you know, gotten to that age. And I think adding in his battle with cancer in this movie really amplified it, as opposed to him being the mentor character. Adonis also can take care of him and vice versa. I think that really worked well in this, and I'm glad they put it in.
I also very much liked that that whole storyline and the parallels on their, you know, battles. Mm-hmm. But when that part of the movie came around, I almost had to chuckle. 'Cause it sounds like a joke. Like, oh shit, we need another idea for a Rocky movie. God, what, who hasn't he fought? Oh, cancer. He hasn't fought cancer. It's like that Family Guy joke, Aladdin 7, Jafar may need glasses. Like, and it works, but it's just the whole more like meta narrative of it being like, sure, oh, Rocky's battling cancer was just a little funny.
Yeah. No, I got it. Yeah, like I said, like on paper, this movie, like on paper, this movie isn't nearly as good as it is watching it, which I mean, it's this easy thing to say for any movie, but like Rocky gets cancer on paper is like, okay, it's kind of cheap, but how they do it in the movie, I think it's insanely well done.
Oh yeah. And no, you're right. Sylvester Stallone's fantastic. Tessa Thompson, I think actually just plays the same character that she did in Sorry to Bother You. Just like, yeah, finally, like, you know, a peripheral love interest who's actually a person. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, is driven, and yeah, I think she was really good. Yeah, there's not really any weak points to pick, other than like, yeah, the occasional nitpick. There's not mm-hmm. really much to tear apart with this movie. It's just solid. It's you know, yeah, good story. I did kind of have like a, I don't know. So the meta was always in sports movies, you know, mm-hmm. the underdog team comes from behind and wins it all.
Mm-hmm.
But in a subversion to that, people started doing the underdog comes from behind and gives it their best, but loses, but wins the heart of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I actually think that is now the more common ending for these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit, you know, bummed.
Well, I think that's an homage to Rocky. I'm pretty sure that's how Rocky 1 ends. And I think Rocky might have been the first to do it. So I think it's kind of just an unfortunate reality is this is a Rocky movie and they're paying homage to that, but a lot of movies have tried to copy that. But I think it works. Like, it wouldn't make sense. You can't have this kid in 6 months beat the, you know, world champion, you know? Right. But I liked it a lot how it
is. No,
ends.
Yeah. Contextually, it makes a ton of sense. And yeah, I haven't seen Rocky, but I just assume that there's a lot of similar beats in it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I figure, like, you know, because you're right, I'm pretty sure that's how the original Rocky ends is, you know, he just wins the hearts instead of winning the title. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it kind of is almost like Star Wars 7, where it's like, borrows a lot from Star Wars 4, but, you know, puts a new spin on it and adds depth. So
right. Yeah, yeah, and going off of that point, I think this movie does a really good job of meshing the old with the new, right? It feels very modern, but you can see kind of the roots of where these things came from. Mm-hmm. And I think one way they kind of show that is in the soundtrack. They merge these, like, brass, you know, heavy triumphant, you know, music that you'd hear in Rocky One, right? But they also mix, like, transform into hip hop, right? It morphs into hip hop. And I think the entire soundtrack of this is fantastic. And then going into the 12th round, they play the Rocky theme. It's like, come on. It's hype as shit. It's so great.
I didn't really notice the score too much. Probably because I was just doing a bad job of paying attention to it. But yeah, I do recall a few bits of where, like, I don't know. I love horns, and movies like this have a lot of horns, and yeah. I think horns are great for this type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's the part that
Tessa Thompson's song was really good.
Oh yeah, both her songs. I'm like, yo, this shit slaps, and she actually sang those, which is really cool.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, the part in the movie that I think the score is the most emphasized is in not the first, not the second, but the third training montage. And you know who's be good perk if you got three training montages in it. But at the end of the third training montage, when he's running down the street and all of, like, the bikes are going past him in kind of slow-mo, that's where it starts off in horns. Then when he gets to Rocky, then it goes to hip-hop. And it's like, this is fucking awesome.
It's that's so cool. yeah, no, that's super cool. And I think that, because obviously there's a scene where Rocky's running around in a hoodie and sweatpants and in the original. And it's a good parallel of that. Updated, you know, showing like this neighborhood and where it's at, and like with all the bikes and the ATVs, I think that's a really cool scene. I will counter your point that if a movie has three training montages, it's bound to be good, because that's in fact too many training montages.
Nah, dude, but it was hype.
It's acceptable. I'll let them get away with it, but yeah, I could do for a little less montage.
Oh man, I can watch training montages all day. It's the best part. That the two things in movies I love the most are training montages and getting the team together. This movie also has that. The first time he brings them to the second gym, and he's like, "We got literally the guy's name is Padman because he's so good with the pads. You got Stitch, who's the doctor, and then the guy makes him the gloves. It's like, it's fucking sick, dude. So good. Another thing I wanted to touch on was I said in the intro, but the scene where he does like. Kind of freak out and needs to like to cut my gloves off, like I gotta take a shit, like I'm freaking out. I love that scene because that there's a few points in this movie where they could have gone kind of what would make this like a movie, like a Hollywood movie type thing, and they instead chose to do like something more realistic or just more like human. And I think that's probably the best showing of it, where the ref comes in and starts telling them the rules and the audio fades out and you can tell like he's getting very anxious. And then it just is like, yo, cut my gloves up. I need a shit right now. Like, I absolutely love that. I think that really amplified kind of his character and just the movie as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they didn't too much show his in-ring struggle, because he doesn't really lose.
Right.
Even in, like, the final fight, he arguably didn't lose, but...
Right. He gets clocked in the beginning, but that's, like, the only time he really gets...
Right, yeah, literally, like, at the start when he goes into his brother's gym.
Mm-hmm.
But they show his struggling more emotionally, which is really powerful and, like, an interesting way to turn it. Because that's what I noticed was this movie, it's a boxing movie, obviously, but it's way more of like a personal movie about characters.
Yeah.
And then boxing is kind of like a set piece. Like,
yeah,
it's the setting of the movie. And yeah, there are some obviously big boxing scenes, but realistically, you could probably take away the boxing scenes and still have a functional movie.
Oh, for sure. And I like think they...
Maybe he's going to... Like, he's trying to pass a series of... written exams, like you sub in the boxing for written exams and you probably still have a pretty good movie.
Oh, for sure. And I think they do a really good job of foreshadowing those emotional arcs in two ways. One is like in the for Rocky, when they're first talking in the restaurant, he says time is the ultimate enemy, like you can't
undefeated.
Time's undefeated, and that's kind of shows where turns into his battle with cancer as he gets older. But then I think like all of the little moments we get with Donnie, culminating in him finally saying, you know, when he's fucked up in like the 11th round, it's like, I have to prove him not a mistake. That was built up like multiple times of like, okay, well, how does he feel about his father? And initially he's like, oh, I don't care about him. Then he, you know, the thing about him accepting the name. And then when he's in the jail cell and Rocky comes and talks to him and Rocky says, like, hey, you got to get out of your dad's shadow, you know. Just like that entire, all those beats, I think, were built so well to get to that point at the end. And he's really feeling as he needs to prove he's not a mistake. I think that was just fantastically done.
Yeah, I agree. And I think especially the scene where Donnie and Tessa Thompson are talking about him not wanting to use his father's name, and she's mm-hmm. like, use it, it's yours. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's pretty good. I really liked how they handled that. You know, it's a relationship that's entirely off screen because mm-hmm. he never met his father, but he gets to grapple with that, and it evolves and changes as the movie goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, oh, God, it's so good. It's so good. Let's see. I'm showing my notes here.
I got one more little tidbit.
Oh, yeah.
So we touched on the camera work. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less frenetic than Fruitvale Station, but mm-hmm. because it should be, like, mm-hmm. for the most part, it's a little more mainline movie. Mm-hmm. But there was one scene, I think it was the first fight scene, when he puts up his Mustang mm-hmm. in the gym, and he gets knocked out, and it's a fixed camera on him falling.
Yeah.
I wanted a lot more of that. I think that was really cool, and they didn't do all that much with it, but in fairness to them, they're really all the only time you can do that is like when they fall down, or I don't know, maybe you could do some nonsense like have a fixed camera on a punching glove or something.
Right.
I don't know. I like creative camera usage. So mm-hmm. I really liked that scene, and I was a little bummed that there wasn't too much of that thereafter.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw that, it was very striking. It's like, oh shit, like he's got knocked the fuck out. Though I will say, I think they show people getting knocked out very well. That's a weird thing to say, but like when he gets clocked in the final match, he is out, dude. Like his arms are limp, and like I don't know, that acting is fantastic. He just kind of ragdolls onto the mat, and then I love when he goes to the memories, and then he like breathes in super, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's like, and he gets up, and I think Max Kellerman's like, he has got like a man possessed. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, let's go. I think the choice to have the commentary over the final match worked actually pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they're going through it faster. You know, you can't do all 12 right. rounds, you know, in real time like they did the second match. So yeah, I think that was a cool choice as well, having like the HBO boxing on everything and kind of right. setting it more modern.
No, and the sound design in the final fight is really good too, because the mm-hmm. way that like the sound almost like fully dulls when he's knocked out, and it kind of swells as punches are landed, and I think mm-hmm. It was really well crafted, that whole scene.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, last thing I wanted to mention was I loved when he wins the fight against Leo halfway through the movie, and he's like, they're all like, it's him, Tessa and Rocky being like, oh yeah, let's, this is awesome, man, let's go out in the town, let's get like let's go out, and then it cuts to them just passed out on the couch with like ice cream and stuff on the coffee table. I'm like, yeah, of course you'd be exhausted after that. Like,
oh yeah,
it was so, that was my moment where I think it's like, we could have them celebrating, but like what would actually happen? They're gonna be passed out on the couch. And it just makes it more like an endearing, I think, movie. So yeah,
in thinking back, the guy who was like the head trainer at Mix mm-hmm. Gym, mm-hmm. who was like the antagonist for the first third of the film.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird just having a character be around for a good portion of the movie being menacing, and then just having his storyline end off screen with him leaking.
Yeah,
I mean, what more would I have wanted? I would say,
what more could you do? Like, he had his guy and he lost. Like, he can't really do anything else. So he leaked the thing as kind of revenge, possibly.
Yeah, I think, I suppose it's not what more would I have wanted them to do with that character. I don't actually think they needed that character.
Mm.
I think he pretty much exists to, you know, drop that plot point in
knowledge,
the news.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
because it's not a super long movie, but it's a longish movie, right? And there is like clearly like three kind of acts to it. But it's hard. Like, you need to get his name out there in kind of a big way. And you can't just have him directly go into the fight with the champion. No. So, yeah. I understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah, it's not a problem, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just a... Mm-hmm. Like, I had totally forgotten about that guy entirely until just now. I was like, oh, yeah, the antagonist of the film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will say, too, just very briefly, the antagonist at the end, you know, the pretty, whatever the guy's name is, pretty boy or whatever.
Ricky Conlan, yeah.
Yeah, pretty Ricky Conlan. We don't see him for very long, but I think he makes himself a villain very quickly. You know, he's good at making you hate him. Definitely. So I don't really need a whole lot of development with him. Well, they did actually set it up pretty well. Like, this is his last fight, you know. They had the spatter throughout the movie, so it wasn't out of nowhere. But they did a good job of making you hate him immediately and want him to get his shit kicked.
For sure.
So, yeah. Anything else you want to touch on?
I thought it was a little weird that Max Kellerman was on there because I didn't know he did boxing.
Neither did I, but I like him a lot. I don't watch a lot of ESPN, but I always enjoy seeing him.
Like, he was on First Take with Stephen A. I hate that show.
I'm thinking pre that when he was on Sports Nation is when I saw him a lot.
Okay. Yeah, he's not awful, but
Sports Nation was a chill show.
It's terrible, yeah. Sports Nation's okay.
Recommendations based on this movie. The one I thought of, we were talking about kind of the old with the new. You mentioned episode 7, I think that's a really good one. I was thinking Blade Runner 2049, where you have an old movie or an old series of movies, and then a long time passes, and then here's the sequel. I think that both this movie and 2049 do a great job of putting you back in that world, and it's like you haven't missed a beat. Like, I feel like it feels like this could have been made, you know. Maybe that's not a great way to say it. I think it fits the vibe appropriately for the world that they're trying to jump back into, and it does mix him the old with the new. So if you're looking for that kind of a thing, again, I think 2049 is a good example of that.
Yeah, my recommendation based on this movie would be the movie that it pretty blatantly ripped off, which is...
Rocky.
It's not rhetorical. Oh, what'd you say?
Rocky?
No. Come on. Real Steel.
Oh, of course. How could I forget Real Steel?
Real Steel, the real classic boxing movie. No, but that is actually one of the ones that popped into my head when I was like, it's the classic where, like, you know, the underdog gets to the final and gives it their best and wins the heart of the crowd but loses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Creed is just a rip of Real Steel, my column.
One more I mentioned on the podcast before, I think, but there's a lot of good boxing anime out there. The one that I've watched is Megalobox, which I would recommend. I know there's like another one, I think it's Hajime no Ippo, that's like super famous, which I haven't seen, but Megalobox is a cool one. It's kind of like Real Steel Perk, where there's robotics involved, except instead of it being robots fighting, it's the people, but they have like a robot backpack that like, and like arm gauntlets to make their punches very strong. So it's about, you know,
so like
getting the right
Nintendo
gear and stuff.
Game arms,
kind of not quite that crazy, but kind of up to that kind of alley.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that is our review of Creed. And I tell you what, Perk, this movie made me think I need to see Creed 2 because I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, neither have I. Obviously, it's
also only on renting, unfortunately. But and now when he faces the son of Ivan Drago being the person who killed his dad in the ring.
Oh. Weird. I assumed that he and Rocky fought, and that's why he died in the ring.
Nah, it was this Russian dude, Ivan Drago.
Gotcha.
And then apparently Creed 3 is coming out end of this year. Michael
is
B. Jordan directing.
Mr. T's son?
they haven't released the synopsis yet, but I think it's interesting. All three movies have had a different director. I thought Cougar did Creed 2, but he didn't. It was some other guy.
Weird.
And then, Michael B. Jordan is directing the third
that's
one.
That's a red flag for me.
I know, but apparently it was still good. Apparently people are like, yo, it's as good as the first one. So
okay.
I definitely want to check it out just to see what's up with it. But in any case, let's get into our bonus reviews here. So here's the deal, Perk. I have a lot and you have one. So I'm going to go through all mine, then we'll get to yours if that's okay.
Sounds good.
All right. First one, after the podcast last week, Perk, you told me to watch a little short called Hair Love.
Which is extra credit.
Extra credit. Sony Animated Pictures did that one. It's like a 6-minute short. About a girl who is trying to do her hair. a black girl's trying to do her hair, and her dad's trying to help her out. And Perk said, "It'll make you cry in 6 minutes." And I'm like, "We'll see." And it definitely did. I'll ball my eyes out.
It definitely did.
It's so good. Highly recommend watching that on YouTube if you get a chance. Other things I watched. So last week, the teaser trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder dropped, and I'm like, you know what? I need to watch Ragnarok again. I mean, come on. It's so good. And Chris, I know you're listening. Chris is an absolute madman who thinks Thor Ragnarok is a bad movie. He thinks it's too funny and therefore is bad. So, Chris, you're wrong. And I decided to watch Ragnarok again. What a fun movie. That movie is so fucking great. All the chemistry between Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson and Korg, played by Taika Waititi, and Hulk. It's just, it's such a fun time. And then, of course, Perk, if I watch Thor Ragnarok, I gotta watch Infinity War right after it, because that's how it leaves off. So I watch Infinity War after that. One of my favorite.
You mean the movie MCU that movies. Totally invalidates the entire plot line of Thor Ragnarok?
No, I think it's a good sequel for it, because Thor is dealing with, like,
Thor
the
Ragnarok
depression.
Where he has to save all the Asgardians, and then 10 minutes later they all get just
not all
genocided.
Of them. Only half of them die. That's Thanos' thing. He only kills half of them. But yeah, great movies. I'll absolutely love them. But in all seriousness, the movie I was most excited to watch last week was The Northman. I went and saw it in the theater. This is the new Robert Eggers movie, who he's known for doing The Lighthouse and The Witch. This is his Viking movie. And I know that they tried to be, like, as historically accurate as possible with showing the story and kind of the sets and everything. And, man, what a cool movie. I think that's the word I go to the most. It's like, this movie's just fucking cool. And I highly recommend checking it out if you don't mind gore and some kind of disturbing shit. But I think all the acting is fantastic. I think Alex Skarsgård is an absolute monster in this movie. Like, he just looks like an animal. It's just kind of animal, beast of vengeance kind of deal. He's super good. Anya Taylor-Joy is great, though my one critique of the movie is that I wish they'd given her more to do. Because they kind of set her up to be this, like, smart, cunning character, and then she doesn't really do a whole lot. So that was kind of unfortunate. But and then Nicole Kidman, I didn't know how much she'd be in this movie, but I don't want to spoil anything, but she was incredible. Probably the standout for me, honestly. But yeah, really cool movie. I think the color grading was really interesting. It's, like, muted, but it's colorful when it needs to be. I think how they merged kind of myth with reality of how these people, you know, viewed the Norse gods, right, like Odin and stuff, and how that kind of affected their lives, and how they kind of what they believed, and how they kind of did the, like, interpreted the things through doing a lot of hallucinogenic drugs, which happens a few times in this movie. It's just very, very fascinating and cool to watch, and just a nice kind of revenge epic. So yeah, I would really highly recommend it, Perk. I think you would really dig it for kind of the artsiness of it.
Cool.
Yeah, dope movie.
All right. To circle back there, when you were talking about Chris's opinion on Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
Chris looks like Carl Weezer from Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius. So he doesn't get to have an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hopefully we can get him on the podcast again soon so we can roast him.
Of course.
But yeah, Perk, tell me about your experience.
All right. I watched Batman.
You did it.
It's called The Batman. It's directed by The Batman, starring The Batman. Yeah, it's good. I very much enjoyed it. It is absolutely 3 hours long.
Yep.
It is not a movie that feels like it flew by. It is definitely 3 hours long. And yeah, like, the acting was all good. I liked the story. The puzzle solving and, like, more mystery parts, I love that. Mm-hmm. I actually wish there were more.
Mm.
But as previously mentioned, the movie's already 3 hours long. No, and I think it was good. I like everything up until I thought that the motive of destruction just being a bunch of bombs is like, oh.
Mm.
Well, this was all fun and puzzly, and then it's like, we're gonna blow it up. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but okay. Well, should we get into some spoiler talk here?
It's been out a long time.
All right. Well, I'm saying now we're getting into spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, hop out now. I hear you saying, but it'd be one thing if he's like bombed a bunch of government buildings, but he specifically bombed to flood the city, which I think is pretty cool. We haven't really seen Gotham get completely destroyed like that. So like that was a little bit better, but I hear what you're saying. If like the Riddler, you think it'd be something very, very intricate, and it's like bombs. But
yeah, I liked pretty much everything. I really appreciate the atmosphere. I think that's something that Nolan's Batman films have like the best atmosphere of any superhero movie. This one had a really good one as well. Most Marvel movies are terrible at it. Just awful. Everything is just super clean and polished and Disneyfied. So, like, but the opposite end of the spectrum, the Snyderverse has terrible atmosphere as well, but on the other end.
That's the exact opposite reason.
There's a lot of nuance, but, and then, my only real problems with it are, like, nitpicks. Like, I think it was a little stupid that at the end of the day, he goes back to the Riddler's apartment and finds the murder weapon, and the only guy there on watch is like, oh, yeah, my dad tears up carpets. That's a carpet trawl or whatever the hell. And it's like, okay, I guess. The movie's 3 hours long. We need a convenience here. His dad's a carpenter. other than that, like, it's, I enjoyed it. I think it was really good. Has Matt Reeves done other things?
He did the second two of the Planet of the Apes trilogy.
Okay.
They came out recently.
I think I've seen them.
They're very good.
They are good. I don't know. I got a kind of a noir type bug now. I might go try and find one. Okay. And I was really pissed that the score had no like sad solo saxophone, which is like a trademark of noir.
No, they just use the Batman theme over and over and over again, and it hits every time, dude. Like, the movie has like three songs in it, but they're all sick. So I love to see it. Yeah, me personally, I think my favorite part of the movie is how they characterize the Riddler. Like, him having that kind of small online following was very scary because of how realistic it is. Like,
sure.
The kind of QAnon-y type stuff, that really... That was effective for me because it really just freaked me out. But I think the characterization of the Riddler was really fantastic in it.
Yeah, and Paul Dano can only play crazy people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's no way he could ever play someone sane. You look at him. Look at him. Who is he going to play? The interest in a rom-com? No, come on.
you don't hire Paul Dano to do anything but...
Paul Dano's not going to be like the Flash. He's going to be the crazy psychopath that broke out of jail.
Well, the Flash actor is also not doing so hot right now.
Which one?
Ezra Miller. He just can't stop getting arrested.
Oh, that's coincidental then. Maybe Paul Dano can be the Flash.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I talked about it a bit when I first saw it, but this movie felt the most like a graphic novel of any superhero movie I've ever seen. Like, it really, I think the opening and ending monologues by Batman over the movie, I think we've talked before, like, monologues can be kind of
I generally hate monologues, but in noir films it's like a staple, so I can excuse it, and it really is just only the beginning and the end.
Yeah, and I think it felt like pure Batman. Like, that it felt like opening a Batman comic, and like you see the square box of Batman narrating as you see panels of Gotham City. Like, it felt exactly like ripped from a page. So I think it worked so well. You said the atmosphere and the set design, all of the costumes. Like, the Batsuit looks fucking awesome. And they knew that.
Great, yeah.
So he's in the Batsuit 80% of the movie, and it's amazing. Like, I want to see it all the time. The only other knock, too, is people have said a lot, is like Alfred was kind of underdeveloped. So hopefully we see more of that in the sequel, which just got announced, actually.
It's freaking Alfred, this weekend. Bro.
I know.
Freaking Alfred. Everybody,
they're probably
Alfred
like,
is.
We can't be on the level of Michael Caine, so let's just not even try.
Hey, I thought, what's his face was great.
Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I enjoyed him as well. There wasn't really a whole lot, there for him, but.
No.
Last thing I'll ask you is, what'd you think of the Joker?
I mean, he's only in it like off screen, right at the very end.
Yeah, there's also a deleted scene you can watch on YouTube.
I've seen the deleted scene. I think that the actor playing him is fan-freaking-tastic. Barry Keoghan. Keoghan, he's Irish. I don't know how to pronounce it. And I think he'll be great for it because he has, in fact, played a psychopath before. He was in the movie Killing of a Sacred Deer, Yorgos Lanthimos movie, which should tell you everything you need to know. and yeah, he plays a deranged lunatic in that, and he's really freaking good at it. And he probably already got his bag by doing some schlock Marvel movie, so now he can go back to being a crazy guy.
He was good in Eternals. I don't even know if you saw Eternals, but...
Of course not.
He was good in it. I enjoyed him a lot. yeah, I don't hate him as a Joker. It's weird, though. I've seen such division online. People just absolutely hate his portrayal, even though we barely see anything, or they love it.
He's already leaps and bounds ahead of Jared Leto, and he's been on screen that's for not even, 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's not even a... That's so easy to do. but I'm excited to see more. I think they could do something really cool. I would assume, my guess is that the next movie will get a different villain, and then the third movie, when they're all in Arkham, they'll all break out and all kind of do like a team-up thing like him, Riddler, and whoever's in the second movie.
Sure.
Reeves has said he wants to do Mr. Freeze, which I would love to see a modern interpretation of Mr. Freeze, because I think there's been some comics of him.
I only want to see Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. I don't want to see anybody else.
Hey, Perk, what killed the dinosaurs?
Oh, I don't remember.
The Ice Age.
That's right.
well, there we go. That is our bonus reviews for the week. Next week, we are reviewing. We're following Sylvester Stallone because he was so good in this movie. To Demolition Man, a classic 80s action movie. With him and Wesley Snipes going mano y mano, and that is on Hulu. I'm very excited to watch this. I've been wanting to watch this movie for a very long time. So, yeah, next week, Demolition Man on Hulu. But until next time, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.